All this week, we're marking the 5-year anniversary of former Governor Peter Shumlin's State of the State speech focused entirely on addiction. We're hearing from Vermonters who've been impacted by opioid addiction or are working to combat it. Today, Dr. John Brooklyn. He helped create the system of addiction treatment that's spread across Vermont in the last 5 years called Hub and Spoke. I met Dr. Brooklyn at his office in the Chittenden Clinic in South Burlington. It's the largest addiction treatment hub in the state, but it's not the only place Brooklyn treats patients.
I work here, the Howard Center, and then at the Community Health Center, where I've been for about 26 years, a couple half days a week. And then there's another clinic in St. Albans, and so I go up there a couple days a week.
So he's a busy guy. Between patient visits last month, I asked him to describe the hub and spoke model.
So it's trying to mirror what exists in the rest of healthcare. So for instance, if you came to see me as a primary care doctor and you were having incredible chest pain, and I thought you were having a heart attack, I would send you to the ER and you would probably see a cardiologist and you'd be admitted and taken care of and then you'd be discharged and you'd come back to me. So really the hub and spoke is an attempt to integrate substance use disorder into a system whereby people can go from a higher level of need to a lower level of need depending on what their need is so that nobody loses treatment.
Essentially, treating substance use disorder like any other disease. Since Governor Shumlin's speech in 2014, the model expanded from Chittenden County to much of the state. Now other states, like New Hampshire, are looking to replicate it. I asked Brooklyn if that's been a surprise.
Did I think it was going to have a national reach? I had no conception whatsoever. But as I talk to people around the country, they say, yeah, it's kind of a no-brainer. How come nobody thought about it before?
And so going a little forward to early 2014, Governor Shumlin chooses to dedicate his entire State of the State speech to opioid addiction. Mm-hmm. Was there an effect of that on your work?
You knew that Governor Shumlin was thinking about this from a moral and a perspective that was kind and recognized that this was a disease that needed to be treated. And so really, I think the shift came from a legal criminal response to drug use to one of treatment and compassion. And that really helped people begin to think about this as something that they could openly talk about. People were, I think, in many ways shocked. I was privately cheering because I thought, finally, here's a politician, a government official who understands what we've been working towards for decades to try to get people into treatment and remove this bias and the stigma against people getting into treatment.
The State of the State speech happens. The consciousness is elevated. More resources come to treatment. What's changed day to day for you in the last 5 years?
It seemed as though the discussions around keeping people safe, identifying people, getting them to treatment became elevated. There's always been this dynamic in the addiction community about treatment with medication and abstinence. And I think that that's been a false dichotomy. And so I think bringing those two cultures together and having a more robust conversation about, yes, people can go to meetings, they can be involved in recovery activities, they can engage in many things to help build their lives, and also be on medication. The joining of those two things seemed to coalesce much more after that speech than before, because suddenly it was like there's no wrong door into treatment anymore. We're talking about it. It's a disease. It's engulfing our communities. And each community needs to have a response so that we can save our neighbors' lives, cut down on crime, and get more people into treatment.
There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of consciousness now. Is what has become known as the opioid crisis, is it any better now than it was 5 years ago?
Well, if you think about the fact that there are now, I think latest statistic, 200 people a day in the United States dying of an opioid overdose, and you look at Vermont's rate of overdose deaths as maybe a benchmark, our rate is far lower than any of the other New England states, and it's one of the lowest in the country. However, that doesn't mean that we have no overdose deaths. But what it means is that because of this robust system of care, it could have been 5 or 10 times worse than that. It's like inoculating everybody with a flu shot some people are still going to die from the flu, but we were uniquely positioned to provide enough care and enough service to keep those numbers as low as they possibly could be.
Another accomplishment just last year is that there's no longer a waiting list for anyone who wants to receive a treatment. We've reached that point. Waiting lists are non-existent. Are you concerned at this point that that might slip?
Well, to be clear, there's no waiting list at any of the hubs. But remember, the hubs are regional situations. So let's pick Starksboro. Starksboro's not next to Burlington. It's not next to Montpelier. It's not next to Rutland. Those are the nearest hubs. So if somebody lives in Starksboro, they still have to travel to come to a hub unless they have a local spoke provider. If you have to go to work at 7 and you have to drive 30 miles one way, but to the clinic 30 miles the other way, you're probably not going to go to the clinic because it's too much trouble. So I think the next thing we need to think about is how can we get treatment closer to each community so that that many more people are willing to come into treatment. The other thing to face is stimulant abuse. We have methamphetamine and we have cocaine use, which is perhaps on the rise. So I think we're going to have some challenges in terms of the access issue and other substances that come to play in terms of treating people and keeping people engaged in treatment.
In terms of public attention, there's sort of been a lot of public attention to the opioid crisis in the last few years. Do you have any concern that that could slip in terms of people feeling like, hey, look, we've really had some success here. We're doing better. Great. We fixed that problem. Let's move on.
I can see that you could develop perhaps fatigue. Some people may be judgmental and saying, well, why are we spending all this money on this particular problem? Some people still look at it as a moral failing. People made a choice to start using and all that. But I would like to think that our current administration really understands the economics of treatment and also the benefits to society. I mean, if I think about all the people that I take care of who are now in treatment, who are working, who are no longer receiving welfare, who are housed, who are paying taxes, who no longer have DCF in their life, who are no longer incarcerated, it's staggering how much the state has saved. And so I think about the 8,000 people that are in treatment. We don't really have to worry about 8,000 people breaking and entering or being incarcerated or necessarily losing their children. I'm not saying all 8,000 of them are doing fantastic, but the number of people per capita getting treatment and doing well, I think, speaks for itself. And so you would have to say economically, societally, that we're benefiting all the way around by having this many people in treatment and funding it, because ultimately it makes our citizenry healthier, cuts down on overdose deaths and reduce hospital costs, and makes people just that much happier and productive as citizens.
That's Dr. John Brooklyn. Tomorrow we finish our series with a perspective that's become all too common in Vermont, the parent of someone who died after an overdose. For VPR News, I'm Henry Epp.